Hey, y'all, welcome back to the Late Night Vision Show. This is episode number 148. My name is Jason, owner of Outdoor Legacy. We specialize in all things night vision and thermal imaging. And as always, I've got my co-host, Hans, from the Hans East Texas YouTube channel. What's going on tonight?
Hey, everybody. Hey, Jason. Hey, we've got a big show. We've got jam-packed. This may be the most reviews that we've packed into one show, but we are reviewing the AGM Taipans. We've got the TM15, the TM19, and the TM25. We're going to be reviewing all of those tonight. Stay tuned to after the reviews to see if I disgrace the Outdoor Legacy name again in a hog hunting tournament, so we can see how you did, how we did. So check that out at the end of the show. We had another big hog hunting tournament this past weekend, and I'll make you wait till the end to see how that went. But I have not done well at representing the Outdoor Legacy name in any of these tournaments so
That's
far.
That's not true.
So
it's not that bad.
I think Jason might ban me from using our company name in tournaments for moving forward. So
exactly. He's gonna have to get him a sweatshirt from somewhere else or something.
Yeah, disassociate himself from me completely. But we're gonna get right into it because, like I said, we got three big reviews to do. We are reviewing the AGM Taipans, and I know if you listen to the show with Trent from AGM, he talked about these. He also talked about some Rattlers that we will be reviewing very soon. And you know, these are a new line of monoculars that are coming into the play this year. A lot of people have been calling about them, asking about them, pre-ordering. I mean, there's just been a lot of good buzz about these. So we're going to run down the specs. Jason's going to run down that. If you're watching on YouTube, or if you're not watching on YouTube and you want to see what these things look like, you can hop on over and check it out on YouTube. And then we're going to be talking about ID ranges, of course, ID ranges overall, give our overall thoughts on the monoculars, and who these are good for. So if you are trying to choose between which Taipan thermal monocular you want, and depending on what you're hunting, you know, the application is being used for your area, terrain. There's a lot of people that call. I've gotten a lot of calls from people, you know, in Virginia and Kentucky, where it's nothing but hills and forest, and, you know, they don't have very much land to look at. And people, you know, all around the country with their different territories and areas of hunting and environment. You know, one of these might be better for somebody and suited for somebody in one of these types of conditions. So we're going to shed a lot of light onto that, help you decide which one you want. As always, if you're looking to purchase any night vision or thermal optic, you can always call Outdoor Legacy at 877-350-1818. The best thing to do, though, hop on the website. You can check out everything that you know is to be had through the store, and you can see it on there. You see if it's in stock, out of stock. If you have questions about it, or if you're looking to purchase, definitely give us a call. So, Jason, with all that being said, I hand it over to you. You can do the specs, and I know you're also showing these as well, so you can tell everybody what they look like, or show everybody what they look like.
So our regular listeners know, if there's one thing I'm sure they look forward to is in a review, is hearing me read all of the mundane specs. And they probably think it's the most exciting part of any of our review shows. And I'm sure right now there's probably a lot of people clicking off because they're going, my goodness, he's going to have to read the specs for three different optics. They're going to do three reviews in one. But wait, don't click off yet, because we're going to do this a little bit different. These three units, and by the way, Hans didn't mention this, I've been holding them up. These Taipans are monoculars. So just so you know, if you hadn't heard of the Taipans, they're not rifle scopes. They are handheld monoculars only. And so all three of these units are extremely similar. They're built off of the same base model, and they each have a little bit of different features. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through the specs for where they share in common. Okay, the main, what's under the hood is the same on all of these. All right, and so we're going to talk about that real quick, and then we'll get into the slight variations and pricing of the three models. So I am going to go ahead and say on the front end of this, if you're just catching this video and you're like, I don't know, we're talking about, these things are very affordable. Pricing starting at $12.95 going up to $18.95. So $1,295 up to $1,895. So that's kind of the price point we're dealing with. And again, we'll break that down in just a minute. All three of these units, again, every spec I list is for all three of them. A 384 by 288 resolution for the thermal sensor with a 12 micron pixel pitch. So 384, 12 micron, 50 hertz refresh rate, a 1280 by 960 LCOS display screen. They have a 7.5 hour runtime. I've tested that on the bench on two or three different units and got anywhere from 7 hours and 15 minutes to 7 hours and 30 minutes. We'll talk about a little bit more for, you know, in the field use, but that is a realistic bench test number. They also charge and run off of a USB-C port. So if you need to charge this and you're in the truck or you're in the house, you can plug in any USB-C charger there. You can also run it off of an external battery pack. So if that's something that you've got and you're worried about running out of battery life, because this battery is internal. It is non-removable. You have to plug it in to charge it, but that's a very long battery life. But if you're worried about it, again, you can carry a spare small battery pack. You know, $30 will run this thing for several nights. Have four different color palettes: white hot, black hot, red hot, and rainbow. They have internal video recording, no audio. They do have a smartphone app with that you can connect via Wi-Fi. I have not used the app. Hans and I are kind of the opinion that it's just something that we don't personally use. And I don't know. I hear it works well. Apps are one of these things that I always feel like, you know, they cause more problems than good. And just in across all the brands that people call, well, what about this app? And I'm like, it's things we can't help you with, you know, because I don't know about your phone and this app. And so it gets really difficult for us. But I've heard that the app is good. I've had guys mention it. I have never personally used it, but it is there for streaming. They're both rated down to negative, or both, all three, negative 4 degrees. They weigh about 11 ounces. There's a slight, like, you know, half to three quarters of an ounce weight difference between them, but about 3 ounces on the heaviest one. They are 6.75 inches long and 2.4 inches around. So I like to tell people they're just a little bit bigger around than a toilet paper tube. If you're trying to get an idea, if you're not watching, if you are watching right now, you can see I can almost touch my fingers, kind of depending on which hand I use. My thumb and my middle finger can just about touch around the widest point there. So they are small and lightweight. They've got a 3-year warranty, and the units are fully waterproof, which was a good thing because when I was headed up here to record this, it was raining and they were getting wet. Now what we're going to do is we're going to jump in real quick. You've got the basic specs where they all align, but I'm going to tell you about the different models. So what we've got is the TM15. TM, that's like thermal monocular. TM15, and as handy as this can be, it is a 1.5 power base magnification. So the 1.5 equals the 15. One more thing I'm going to mention since I just pulled this off. They all have a little tethered rubber lens cap cover on there, and I will say that these fit well. I know on some of the other ASP, we'd complain they didn't fit well. I mean, these, you know, they stay pretty good. I mean, I'm not saying you can't knock it off, but I'm sitting here messing with it. It stays fine, so I just wanted to mention that. I don't have any problem with that. So the TM15, 1.5 power, you will notice right here, no focusable objective. This is a fixed focus unit. You cannot focus the lens, and it is $1,295. I think it's a bargain for the dollar, and it has an official detection range of 775 yards. Hans, what do you think about realistic ID ranges. Let's talk about that on each of these models. What do you think for the TM15 1.5 power?
So the 1.5 power, you know, I'm going to say anywhere from 200 to 225 yards is a very conservative, I think, ID range. And just to go back to one thing to help people understand and remember, and I thought Trent, when he said this, kind of the light bulb clicked on, but we have the TM15, the TM19, and the TM25. The 15, 19, and 25 is also the magnification, so it's 1.5 magnification, 1.9, and 2.5. So that's an easy way to remember the base magnifications on these units too. So I know I got off track on that, but I'm going to say, yeah, 200 to 225 is going to be the, I would say, ID range. You agree with that?
I agree.
Okay.
100% agree. I think these are conservative numbers. I can tell you that if ID'd some hogs further than that, and when we say ID ranges, we're talking hogs and coyotes. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think you can ID a cow and a horse and a person and big animals further than that, but we're talking about the most common animals mm-hmm. that our listeners are looking at, and that's going to be hogs and coyotes. So, yeah, I think 200 to 225 is conservatively and reasonably a good ID range yeah. for somebody with a little bit of experience. So, moving along, we've got the TM19. Again, that is a 1.9 power base magnification. It's going to sell for $1,595. And it has a focusable objective lens. So if you just grab this right here, focus the lens in like normal. And I guess I should mention all of these do have a little dial back here that focuses the eyepiece to your mm-hmm. eye. Yeah. So you get that focused, but then, you know, that's a set it and forget it kind of deal. But then this front focus, you will focus it depending on how far the animal is. So TM19, $1,595, detection range officially of 980 yards. I think that's legitimate, maybe yeah. conservative. What do you think an ID range on this unit, which is going to be a little further because it is higher magnification and yeah. it's focusable?
Yeah, a little bit higher magnification. That, you know, the objective focus adjustment on that really makes a difference. And you know, again, just to be conservative, 250 yards. So we're going to say, you know, at least 25 yards more ID range, probably more, but to give you a more realistic yeah. expectation of what you're going to get, I'd say 250 yard ID range, and mainly because a little bit larger objective lens, you got the objective focus on it, a little bit higher powered. So, you know, I think all in all, that's going to bump it up just at least a little bit more, at least 25 yards.
Yeah, I agree. 250 yards is conservative. You know, I don't have any problem with that. I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised when you get them. So then the last model is the TM25. That unit is a 2.5 power base magnification, $1,895. Again, it is focusable. And so here's the deal. These two units are basically identical. Well, a 35 and a 25, you can't really tell the difference. I mean, you pick them up, they look the same. They're both focusable. There is a little different lens size inside here, but as far as I can tell, yeah, they are. The actual lens on the inside is a little different, but the actual diameter of the focus ring is the same size. So you can't tell them apart just picking them up until you look through them and you see that higher magnification. So again, 2.5 power, $1,895 official. Detection range is 1,290 yards, mm-hmm. and that's just because, again, the higher magnification there allows you to see a little bit further. And Hans, I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say, based on what your past predictions are, you're probably going to say this is about 275 yards. What do you say?
I was going to say 3,000 yards, but...
3,000?
No.
I'm wrong.
275, yeah. You know... Probably more. I every time I say more, I feel like I get my hand slapped. I don't know. If I said 300, I think that would be, if they're saying a little bit under 1,000-yard detection range, to have a 300-yard ID range would be a little much as far as percentage ratio of
detection. Yeah, but they're saying, they're saying 1,300, 1,290 yards, so 1,300 yards exactly. detection on this model. Okay. So, yeah.
So, no, I say 275.
I think you're right. Yeah, 275, 300. I mean, look, again, folks, this is something that is, it's not set in stone. What I can ID tonight on a nasty, rainy, it's been raining all day, all night last night. It's a terrible night. What I can ID right now is going to be different than what I can ID this weekend when it's clear and cool. It's, and what I can ID might be different than what you can ID. I mean, it just, some of this comes with experience and knowing, you know, your terrain and your animals and whatever. So we're given guesstimations here, but yeah, I think that's very reasonable. And, so 1290, I'll just go over this real quick. TM15, 1.5 power, fixed focus, 1295. TM19, 1.9 power, focusable, 1595. TM25, 2.5 power, focusable, 1895. I should mention every one of these units, I didn't put this in the specs, they do have a 2, 4, and 8 times digital zoom. So it's literally like it sounds there, you know, it's 2 times, 4 times, and 8 times their base magnification. Yeah. And obviously by the time you get up to that, you know, 8 power, that image is going to be grainy, but you get the idea.
That's all right. Hey, well, you know, what we're going to do now, I'm just going to talk about the overall thoughts of these things. I'm going to tell you, if all of you remember, and it wasn't that long ago, the AGM ASP, TM, you know, the thermal monoculars, we were a big fan of them. They thought that we were a great picture image. I'm going to tell you what, I like these a lot better. And in, even though we loved the ASP, and I know that a lot of people loved them, I know we sold a bunch of them. These, to me, these are much smaller. I'm sure that you noticed that, Jason, but these are much smaller than the ASPs were. I think the picture image is also better. It's a sharper image. The picture clarity on it's very, very good.
12 micron.
Yeah, exactly. The battery life on them, as Jason said, you know, 7 to 8 hours runtime on these batteries. Bench test now, obviously out in the field, you're turning it on and off, you're magnifying your video and whatever you're doing is probably going to be a little bit less. But to get something that's a 7 hour bench test, you know, timed on a timer is pretty dang good. That's a pretty powerful battery, long lasting battery. So definitely a positive. But the overall size of these things, man, these things are really, you know, fairly small. You could fit into any pocket, easy to maneuver. It's got 4 buttons on top. You know, they're spaced out really well. They're, you know, to be able to find in the dark, you get used to it very quick. I think the fact that you can get now sub $2,000 thermal monoculars with a, you know, adjustment focus, you know, focusable objective focus on it, I think is a great direction, move in the right direction as far as people asking and begging for prices to come down, but the quality to get better. I think this is, you know, moving in that direction. Prices, especially on these thermal monoculars, seem to be coming down. The quality is getting better. You know, they're putting out 384 thermal monoculars with 12 microns. I mean, these are things that if you got in a scope would be a $3,000 or $4,000 scope sometimes. And, you know, you're getting that sub $2,000 in a thermal monocular, which, you know, to be able to ID at 250 yards or 200 yards with something that, you know, is, you know, under $2,000 or $1,500 or $1,300. That's a great deal. I think this is going to be something that people are going to be able to get into for the first time. Right now you got a lot of people that are using digital night vision scopes and they love them, for various reasons. There's people that I've talked to that would rather hunt with a digital night vision scope even more than a thermal scope. And I'll tell you why. There's people out there that hunt, that coyote hunt in farmland and properties where a lot of people around there have regular dogs and they need to be able to see that dog plainly. They need to be able to see the coloring and everything on it so they don't shoot somebody's neighbor's dog. So they choose digital night vision, but they'd also like to have a thermal monocular to help them see, you know, a coyote or whatever sooner and make it easier to spot an ID. So something like this, and that's where we're getting a lot of calls and interest, is for people that are trying to get into it for the first time, not trying to spend $3,000 or $4,000 for a monocular, but get something good quality, decent, you know, that they can, will last a long time, is small enough that can fit into any pocket, and good picture quality. And I really, applaud AGM. You know, they did good with the with their monoculars, the ASP, but to follow that up right away with the Taipans and even more quality and you know, even more performance, I think is a it shows the advancement and the dedication of this company and what, you know, they're in it for the long haul. They're not just out trying to put out what they think that they can sell. They're trying to continually put out better products every year in an effort to bring more people into the sport, to give more people an opportunity and to thermal hunt and hunt at night, and doing so in a way that the, you know, more people can afford to do it. And that's always been the, seems like the knock from a lot of hunters out there is like, you know, I want to get into thermal, but it's just, it's not practical. It's way too expensive. And, you know, for somebody that's hunting a few times a year, it's hard to spend $4,000 on a thermal monocular, you know, but, $1,500 or $1,300 or $1,800 sounds a lot better, you know, than,
right,
than anything more expensive than that. But, I really like what they've done here. I really like the fact that they've put these out immediately after the ASP, and there's a lot to like about it. They perform very well, and it's a great deal. It really is a great deal.
It is. I'm going to jump in here, and I'm going to say, you know, my overall thoughts on these things. I'll tell you this right now. I'm using a $4,000 monocular. I have for years. Really, really like it. 640 high resolution, great unit. I've told people this, and I mean this. If you told me right now, hey Jason, I'm gonna stick this TM19 in your hand, and this is gonna be your monocular now. It's what you got to use. Mm-hmm. I can handle it. I can use it. I mean, I could say, all right, I'll live with it. I mean, it's a $1,600 monocular. And I could absolutely hunt every night with that and be content. And a lot of times it's difficult when, you know, you're spoiled to, you know, high-end optics, and Hans and I get to use a lot of different stuff. And there's a lot of things that we use and test that I can say, oh man, that's really good. That's a good value. But I really don't want to use it because I admit it, I'm spoiled. Yeah. You know, we're using this. These things I could use.
Right.
I mean, they're legit. They're really, the very first time I saw these, and I think we've alluded to this in some of the other shows, I just got all excited. Mm-hmm. And Hans was like, because he hadn't seen them yet. I've had these things, by the way, because Hans has had them too for a while. We've each got our own. But I've had these things since, like, I don't know, November or something, in a long time. All right, we got them months. I don't know, December, November, whatever it was. I got these things, and Hans hadn't seen them yet, and I just kept on. I was going on and on, and I know he got tired of it. He was like, dude, you know, they're entry-level monoculars. Calm down. Yeah. And I was like, you got to see them, though. You guys said these things are going to sell like hotcakes. Yeah. And they will. They are. People are absolutely loving these things. And this is, what is this? This is the first week of March. And these things of 2021, these things have just started shipping, and they're just getting out there. But I'm telling you something, they're going to be huge sellers. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to kind of transition this a little bit into, I'm going to go ahead. I was going to do something else, but I'm going to transition this into who I think it's good for. I know you kind of alluded to the digital night vision hunter. I think that's very true. But I'm going to tell you who I'm already selling a lot of these things to. I'm selling them to guys that own $3,000 to $4,000 scopes, and they don't want to spend $3,000 to $4,000 on a handheld, mm-hmm. but they want a handheld, and they want something decent. The problem is they've got a really good scope, and they don't want to buy a $1,200, $1,500 monocular that just is not going to pair well with their scope. Mm. That's a big deal. I've always told people this. If you get a really good scope, you have to get a monocular that at least complements it.
Right.
If you get something that's three steps down, you're just not going to use it.
Yeah.
You're just going to go, it looks terrible. I'll go back to my scope. And then next thing you know, you're holding your rifle up again and scanning with that, or trying to take your scope off. So you got to have something that's good enough. These are absolutely good enough to use with any $3,000 to $4,000 thermal rifle scope. Mm-hmm. I mean, as long as you're reasonable. I mean, as long as you're not expecting to get a 640 monocular, these will work with that. And that's who I'm selling a lot of these to, is guys who already own thermal and just want a good monocular. They know the value of it. So Hans is right about the digital guys, but I think that you know, a lot of guys already own thermal, and there's a lot of guys that maybe own $2,000 thermal,
yeah,
you know, entry-level thermal, but they need something. And I've had some guys are like, this is better than my $2,000 thermal scope. I mean, this is, yeah, you know, my scope's several years old, yeah, and I thought it was really good. Now I looked at this, and I'm like, dadgummit, I like this better than I do my right scope. So, you know, that is something. But I want to do something here again real quick, Hans. I want to go over each of these models and talk about who each model is good for. And because, again, we have three very different models, and I say very different, in my opinion, they are, on the magnifications and the focus and non-focus. So I'm going to go over those. And then when we're done with that, I want to kind of quickly go over our likes and dislikes. I think sometimes we do that in a little different order, but this time we'll do the likes and dislikes after this. But so let's talk about this TM15, this model right here. Again, $1,295, 1.5 power, base magnification. Obviously, I mean, I'm just going to say this. I think this is the first guy who buys this is the logical person who's on a tighter budget. Mm-hmm. And they really want a thermal monocular, but gosh, they don't want to break the bank, and they don't want to buy junk. They don't want to be disappointed. They're looking at it for a price point. It's $1,300. I think that's the logical person. What do you think it's good for? Who is that guy? What's he doing?
Man, you can do a lot of things at 1.5. You talk a lot about using thermal monoculars to track deer. I think this is, if you're...
I was hoping you didn't say that, because that's what I wanted to say.
I mean, anything, tracking deer, you want the low, I think the lowest magnification you can get. And I think this is an excellent optic to keep in your bag if you're a deer hunter or any other type of hunter where you need to track animals. I think that's an excellent application for that. Obviously, any type of hog hunter, I think, you know, this would be good for.
Yeah.
If you're definitely looking for something that is good quality but not at the higher end of the price spectrum, I think 1.5 power is pretty. I like to ride around when I do a lot of hog hunting or coyote mm-hmm. hunting. We do a lot of riding around on a mule out on property, and we spot. And I'll tell you, the higher the magnification monocular I use, the more sick I feel like I'm going to get. So I really prefer to get something as low as possible if I know I'm going to be spotting from a side by side or a four wheeler or something like that. So I think it's great for that as well. But these type of lower magnification units have a lot of different applications, whether it be personal home defense, farm mm-hmm. management, you know, mm-hmm. there's a lot of things that you can do with this thing across broad spectrums, even not even including hunting, but a lot of different things. But,
right,
you know, I think coyote hunters, you know, that are hunting in more close quarters could definitely use this. So. If you're going to say what one group of segmented hunters are going to use this, I'm going to say it's going to be deer hunters that are tracking game, or it's going to be hog hunters that are primarily, you know, hunting on smaller properties is what I would say.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think that, again, this model is going to be dictated a good bit by budget. Mm-hmm. I think it's, again, it's going to be a lot of times every dollar counts, and I get that. And you know, saying, oh, well, it's only $300-$400 more. Well, that's a lot of money, and I completely understand. So I think the budget, and you're right, the closer range stuff is where this is going to be. I had a guy say, hey, listen, you know, I hunt coyotes on big fields. I've got a thermal scope. I just need to know that there's something out there. And my wife is going to murder me, and I'm going to live in my truck if I go spend another $2,000 or $3,000 on him. And he's like, I need something that's cheap, you know, relatively speaking, but not junk. And I was like, TM15, you know, I mean, he really didn't want to spend TM19 money. And I said, sure, this is going to do what you want to do for that. So agree totally. Moving on, we're going to go to the TM19. Again, that is the 1.9 power base magnification. $1,595. I'm going to go ahead and say my opinion is that this is my personal favorite model. Hans, you and I are both using a 1.9 power base magnification thermal monocular right now. And so, and I say 1.9, people are like, why is it not two? Like, oh, because somebody didn't round up, you know, it's basically two power. Okay. 1.9 is not a magic number. So, I think that, that two power range is right where I personally want to be. Wide field of view. Gosh, that was something that I was going to look up and have here tonight. I'm sorry. Maybe we can put that in the specs.
Yeah, but we'll put that in this description of the YouTube video. We will.
I started writing that down and forgot. So wide field of view. I really do. I mean, it's going to be a little bit narrower than the 15, but still, I just think that's a good range. I mean, because if I can zoom up one time to four power, that's about all I'm going to need on the fields that I'm hunting that are normally going to be top out somewhere in that 500 to 700, 800 yards, be a long ways for fields that we get on normally. So I really like that unit, and I think it's a very good value for the dollar. So, and I mean, I'll let you speak up here, but if you just force me to say which one's your favorite for what we do or what I do, I like that model because of the magnification, and I've moved up and I've gotten the focus, so a little better image quality.
I agree with you. I think the 1.9, the TM19 is going to be my favorite too, just because I do like that two power base magnification for a thermal monocular. Earlier when I said, you know, scanning or hunting from the mule, I'm not talking about riding a mule. So people would be like, Hans.
That's how we do it in East Texas.
Hans off a mule. It actually, Kawasaki mule. So for all the people that I'm about to get messages from. that 1.9 power, I think to me is the perfect, my magical base magnification number. Like you said, we're using something that's similar. I just like it because you still get the distance. You still get the wide field of view. It doesn't make you sick if you're riding around. I think to me, anything above 2.5 for me, as far as thermal monocular, is going to be too high. When we're shooting hogs and they run off and you're in the woods, you can really start to see where it might be difficult the higher up in magnification you go when you try to track animals. When Jason shoots a hog, he doesn't have to worry about that. His hogs never run. They drop when he walks out in the field.
They drop.
But I
don't even have to shoot all the time, you know.
But me, I've got to go track mine from time to time. When you start walking in the woods and you can really see how, a higher magnification thermal monocular might hinder you a little bit. But I'm agree with you. That 1.9 to me is the sweet spot. I think that one probably will be the most popular. I'm going to make a prediction. I'm going to say we're going to sell more of those than any other model because two power focusable objective lens, the 384 12 micron, which all of them have, but it is the, for the price and for that base magnification, I'm going to go on a limb and say that's going to be the best one and the one that we'll probably sell the most of.
Y'all don't click off the show yet, because while Hans was talking, he gave me time to pull those numbers up on the field of view, and I got them figured here real fast. I did the conversion.
So I said something funny earlier, and he must have fake laughed because he wasn't paying attention to what I was saying.
I had no clue what he was talking about. I don't know what he was talking about.
Fake laugher.
I thought he said he voted for Joe Biden. No. I don't know. Anyway, so the TM25, last model, again, it's 2.5 power base mag. It is $18.95, and I'm going to go out on a wild limb, and I'm going to say that I know who you're going to say this is really good for. Let me guess.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be people that hunt canines, right? They're going to say the big fields
big
for the
field,
coyote hunters.
Yeah, big field, wide open spaces.
Even hog hunters, but big fields.
Big field, wide open spaces. You're not tracking animals most of the time through woods. If you shoot an animal and it runs off it, you can see it, dropping over and dying in an open field. Longer range stuff, just like you would normally think, just like your gut tells you. That if you prefer to hunt with a higher base magnification scope because of the wide open spaces that you're hunting, well, then you're probably going to prefer something with a little bit higher base magnification on your thermal monocular. So, There's a lot of coyote hunters out there that prefer that. To them, 2.5 is a good starting point for a thermal monocular. So I definitely think that that's one in the applications you're probably going to want to stick with and stick to, that kind of that rule of thumb. If you prefer higher base magnification on your scope, your shooting scope, then your thermal monocular is probably going to be, in that same line of thinking.
Yeah. No, I absolutely agree. I've got a lot of guys who just tell me, hey, listen, I want a little more magnification. Mm-hmm. I've got guys that are older that say, my eyes aren't what they used to be. The difference in 1.5, 1.9, and 2.5, it's not drastic. I mean, there's a bigger difference between 2.5 and 1.5, obviously. Yeah. But you're not going to pick any of these up. I could tell you this. You put the 2.5 and the 1.9 beside each other and you hold them up, one on one eye, you go, oh yeah, I see it. I can see that ammo a little bit better, looks a little bit better. And one thing quick, I want to talk about this, image quality. And so I get this a lot. They say, well, is the higher, the more expensive one, the higher magnification, is the image quality better? My opinion on that is no, it's not better, but it's going to give the perception that it's better.
Exactly.
And what I mean by that is that the object or the animal appears closer to you. Mm-hmm. It is a bigger part of your screen, so it's going to show more detail. Right. So you're going to naturally go, oh, that looks better. Mm-hmm. Well, the way to test that would be to walk forward with the lower magnification monocular or scope, mm-hmm. and where the animal is the same size as it is in the higher magnification, you run back and forth and look at both of them. It is really difficult to do, but what you would find is, especially when you compare two monoculars like this, the image quality is really going to be almost undetectably identical. They're not going to find any kind of changes between the two. Anything that matters, it's just the higher magnification is going to give the perception of a little better image quality. So I don't think you're going to make a mistake between the 19 and the 25. I say go with your gut on this. And between the 15 and the 19, I think it comes down to your budget and how far you're going to be looking. I think if you're going to be in the woods, if you're going to be in brush, if you're going to go with the 15. Forget the image quality. It's going to be good because you're not going to be looking that far.
Yeah.
You're in small fields, go with that unit. If you're hung up in between the two and you're going to be hunting on fields, I think it really comes down to money. Mm-hmm. I think if you're willing to spend the extra money, go for the 19. But if not, I think you'll be happy with the 15. Right. Yeah. Real quick, I do want to give these fields of views because I got these pulled up. So the TM15, which the fixed focus, has got a 92-foot horizontal field of view at 100 yards. That means if you go out there 100 yards away and you set a stake on one side of your screen, so if I stand there and you can barely see me on one side of your screen and I go all the way over to the other side and Han stands there and you can barely see both of us, it's going to be 92-foot wide. That's how far apart he and I would be at 100 yards. So same thing when you move down to the TM19. It's going to be a 72-foot field of view. Again, 100 yards. And then you move to the 25, and it's going to be a 55-foot. So 92, 72, 55. And so again, kind of like I say, you notice the big difference between the 15 and the 25, but there's really that 19 just kind of right up the middle. Yep. Another reason it's probably going to be super popular.
Yep.
But that is my two cents on these. Let's do real quick. I know we're running out of time, but I want to do likes and dislikes. I'm going to jump in this, Hans, because I know this is something that we didn't talk about beforehand. So I know what I'm thinking of. Likes, I think we've been talking about that for 30 minutes. I think we really, really like them. I think that... dislikes, nitpick. I always tell y'all we're going to nitpick this stuff. I wish that I had more control over the image. So they have two modes. One is called recognition and one is called jungle, kind of strange. But I don't know. I wish I had a little more control there. I can control the brightness and contrast, but each change, there's only like four or five levels, and each change is major. It makes a big difference as you change, and it's not a big deal. I don't think you know, you're probably going to think much of it. It's pretty common with a lot of these optics that are under $3,000-$4,000 to not have a ton of control mm-hmm. over the image. I'm nitpicking. I wish I had a little better control there. This is one that is a good and a bad thing all in one. So this is something you're going to have to use to figure this out. When this unit is on and you want to turn it, let's just say that you want to turn the display screen off. You touch the power button one time. Yeah. Display screen goes off. You're saving battery life. Well, that's awesome. Man, now I'm not burning my battery. But you don't know that it's on.
Yeah.
Okay, so now it can just run down. There's not a light or anything, an LED, so you don't know that it's on. Now, here's where that gets tricky. So let's say the unit is on. I'm looking through it. It's time to turn it off. I press and hold the power button. As I'm pressing and holding it, two options come up, and it's like, I don't know what it says, cancel and shut down, something like that. Well, it's on cancel, so if I press the power button again, it just turns the display off.
Yeah.
Okay, so you think you've turned it off, but you didn't.
Yeah.
So then you reach back here to the next button, and this button is where you have to physically push to select that you want to turn it off.
Right.
So you got to, you know, shut down or whatever it says. So you press that. Then you have to back up one more button and press the which is the OK, mm-hmm. which shuts it down. It's not hard. It takes 1 second. It is just bloop, bloop, bloop. Yeah. I mean, it's super easy.
Yeah.
This would only, that there would be no comment about this if you press that power button and it didn't just shut the display off in the middle of this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm getting at? So I just find myself pressing it and I don't know why, but I just press the power button again. I feel like, oh yeah, that's the okay. I'm turning it off. And then in a minute I hear it go, click when it auto nukes. I'm like, dadgummit, it's still on.
I'm glad you brought that up because that did happen to me one time recently. I was using it, took it out, fully charged, brought it home, thought I had turned it off, got it out to take it out again the next day, and it was dead. I'm like, how's this thing dead? I used it for 2 hours last night, and I thought, I was like, I bet I didn't turn it completely off. So yeah, you really got to pay attention to what you're doing. What you want to do is when you feel like you've turned it off and the screen's black, just go ahead and tap that power button again. If it, you know, you'll know if it doesn't come on when you tap it, that's it, that it's off. But if it comes, you know, obviously if it comes on and then it was just in standby mode. But yeah, you really got to pay attention to that. That's a good point. I'm glad you brought that up.
It's not a big deal. I mean, it's simple to do. When you look through it, it's obvious. It's like, I don't know what it says, shut down or cancel it. It's very simple. One more thing I'm going to bring up. Again, we tell y'all folks, if we find something that we, even if we're nitpicking, we're going to do it. The boot up time is very fast. So you press the button, you get an AGM logo comes on the display. Boom. I'm looking through it. I can use the unit. I can see through it almost instantly, but I haven't timed this, so I don't want to give some time and be way wrong, but I would say it's probably close to 25, 30 seconds where you cannot manipulate the buttons.
Right.
The menu is not there. You can't do anything, but you can, so you can't zoom, you can't go into the menu,
mm-hmm.
and it's basically booting up. But the scope is, or the monocular is on.
Mm-hmm.
So you press the power, boom, I can look right through it. I can walk around, I can hunt, I can do whatever. It's only a big deal if you turn it on and you're immediately wanting to record or change the palette or zoom in or something. And again, it just shows how spoiled and impatient we are that we turn on our fancy see-in-the-dark thermal device and it takes 20 seconds before I can, you know, manipulate a button. And I used to take me 10 minutes to get on the internet, you know, but we're nitpicking, but that's what we're here for.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I don't have anything.
Yeah.
I like everything else about it. Hans, do you think of anything that you didn't like?
No, I think you covered it. I think, you know, the startup time, it concerns me less with a thermal monocular. It drives me nuts when it's a thermal scope though, because I do turn it on quickly sometimes and need to do some functions if I walk up on something.
Right.
But that is something to note. Well, and like you said, we are nitpicking, but man, this is a good buy. You know, three thermal monoculars, sub 2000, very good picture image. Yep. With, you know, two of them have adjustable focuses, focus on the objective lens. I think there's a good buys. I think anybody that purchases them are going to be happy. And speaking of which, if you're looking to purchase this unit or any other, you can check it out on the Outdoor Legacy Gear website. You can call 877-350-1818. Jason, we have run out of time, so I don't get to tell my hog hunting tournament story. I'll have to save that for next week. How about that?
Oh, come on.
Is that good?
Okay. Y'all got to come back next week.
Give them a reason to come back.
Y'all got
to
come back.
There's some funny stories in there. So we have just plain run right out of time, but we'll open the show with it next time. It's tough when we do all these reviews in one show. It's great that we were able to get them all done and have everybody get a chance, because I know a lot of y'all have been waiting on this. But if you are wanting to find more information about Mr. Jason Robertson, you can do it over at his Facebook page, the company page, Outdoor Legacy Gear. You can also find him on Instagram and YouTube. If you want to see reviews on any of the optics that we talked about here, so you get to see a lot of thermal video through the scopes. With these Taipans, I will be having a review video coming out very soon with some side-by-side footage. So you can find that on YouTube at HansETX. That's Hans East Texas. You can also find me on Instagram at the same thing, HansETX. And if you want to see any of our past episodes on the Late Night Vision Show, we get so many calls from many of you that say that you've been binge watching or binge listening, and you're starting at the beginning and going through. If you can do that, then God bless you, because that is a lot of shows and a lot of talking. But you can find all of our past episodes on the latenightvisionshow.com.
That's awesome. Hey, listen, folks, we appreciate y'all coming back every week. And, you know, we did run out of time, but we crammed three reviews into one. But I think that was the best way to get these so that you could check them out and really see the side by side what they want to do. I want to say one quick thing. If you're still listening, I don't know if there'll be any footage up side by side of these on this review. If there's not, I'm sure there will be on Hans's review. But just know, on the video recording, I don't believe that it does the justice to what the image quality is through the optic, how clear it really is. So just in case you see some of that footage, don't get me wrong, I don't think the footage is bad. I just don't think it does justice to the sharpness and the identification abilities of these units. But if you are looking for reviews on thermal scopes, thermal optics, hunting stories, you know, tips, tricks, any of that kind of stuff, news, breaking news, this is the place to be. The Late Night Vision Show. Again, thelatenightvisionshow.com, as Hans said. And we hope that you will come back again next week. Please like, please subscribe. Click the little bell icon. That way you'll get notified every Thursday when there is a new show up. But between now and then, we hope that y'all will stay safe in the fields and keep making those bacon pancakes.